Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph for the words of Amar Rava. So Rava tells us, Mace, if you have a dead body that's waiting to be buried, B'yom Tev Rishon is Asker B'amim. So since we're in the discussion of a two-day Yantiv, we're discussing over here if the burial occurs on the first day of Yantiv, what do you do? We know that there's an Isser D'Oraisa and Bal Mashra Gumos and different things with digging the pits in order to bury somebody, and there's also the Isser of Mukta. So that is the reason on Yantiv it's going to be Usser for a Jew to prepare any of the to be Misasek and bury the dead body. However, since we have an issue of Kavod HaBrios, so then we're going to override the Isser of Amira Lanachar. Here, telling a non-Jew to perform the malacha of burying the dead body is going to be mutter on the first day of Yom Tov. Meis b'Yom Tov Sheni is Asku Bo Yisro. However, if it's on the second day of Yom Tov, in Chutz Laaretz, obviously, so then even Jews are going to be allowed to deal with the burial, because the fact that we have a fixed calendar, the second day of Yom Tov, we know, is really only Medin Darabanan. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to be makel that that the Goyim are going to be allowed to bury on the second, even a Jewish person is allowed to be buried, Mistazik with the Kavuram, on the second day. That's a Shaila, that if there are Goyim available, that's why I got confused, if there are Goyim available, that's a big Shaila, do we assume that this Heter would still apply for Yisrael to take care of it, or is it like Hutra, it's totally Mutter, or is it something which we try the best to find a Goy? If you don't have a Goy, then even on the second day you could do it yourself. That is something that's going to be a Shaila in the Achronim. Our minhag is not, Rav Moshe writes, already I think established a minhag in America, is that we do not bury on the second day Yantav. However, this Rachman Latzlan, when there were so many Niftarim that the Chevra Kedishas were overwhelmed, I think there was heters for second day, the Ikar Din, the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch is based on this halacha that Yisaskar B'Yisrael even the way Mutter on second day Yantav. Now going back to the Gemara, where it says, here's the Chiddush, here's that was the second day Yantav. Afilu B'Shnei Yom Tovon Shal Shoshana, as we mentioned, Rosh Hashanah in nature is fundamentally different. The Rosh Hashanah really might be a Yom HaRichta as a Takana. That's really like one Takana. And yet over here, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're still allowing you to bury a Niftar, Masha'ink and Rebetza, which is going to be different than the Beitza, as we mentioned. And when it comes to an egg that's laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Chachamim did not allow you to have it on the second day of Yantav. With regards to burial, however, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be more lenient, and we're going to allow you to have the heter of normal second day Yemtiv to bury a niftar through a Jew. So the Gemara says, Nardai Amre, Nardai, disagree, they are even makel on the egg, Shaila. Alf Bebeit, so the second day of Rosh Hashanah is more makel, even in regards to an egg. An egg laid on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Rashi points out, is going to be mutter to eat on the second day. So Gemara says, the Maidaitich, for what's the reason that you're going to tell me that an egg is usher to eat? Is only for those, Rashi points out, those who live far from Beis Din, because those in Eretz Yisrael who were unaware of Beis Din's declaration, even those who live far away from Beis Din, they were unaware, they would keep 2 days. So Dilma Ma'abri Le'elul, what was the whole problem? Is that we're afraid that Beis Din is going to make the Elul a full month, so that both days of Rosh Hashanah are going to be considered a day of Yom Tov. If the witnesses came after the time of Korban Tamid of Mincha, on the day, what would be in Rosh Chodesh Elul, so then we didn't accept it the next day. So you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we celebrate as one Yom HaArichta, one extended day of Kiddusha, because we're not sure which day was going to be the Etzem day of Rosh Hashanah. As a result, the egg that was laid on the first day would always remain Aser, because as we mentioned, the whole nature of Rosh Hashanah is different than the regular 2 day Yom Tov. Not just out of doubt, that there was a Chazam and a Takana, they should keep it as one day of Kiddusha. So if that's the case, so then on the case over here, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are observed as one long day of Yom Tov, the egg is going to be Aser, whether it came earlier than the 3rd or 31st, in which case, That makes sense to assume that it's going to be usher. So that was the issue that we're dealing with over here. The Gemara says, "But ha amar Rav Chanina bar Kana amar Rav." The whole issue is that we're afraid Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days. Miyomos Ezra ve'elech lo matzino elamulbar, from the days of already Ezra, from the days of Ezra in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, they never had found Elul to be full. Because the and therefore, meaning that they never made it like that. So even though Chachamim agree that if the witnesses came after the time of the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim on the 30th of the Rosh Hashanah would be observed for 2 days, one level of Kedusha, it was never actually instituted because it never actually happened. Since it never actually happened, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were never really going to be given the status of one long day of Yom Tov, and therefore the Jews who lived far from Sanhedrin knew exactly. Or keeping it misafik, but really it wasn't really misafik. It was all, they didn't know exactly when Rosh Hashanah was going to be, but they really, ba'etzem, it was only mitzad misafik, and there was not an issue of fundamentally, the fact that you have to view it as Yom HaRichta. Just a note, Rashi points out that the Gemara mentioned Ezra, because Ezra, who is the Navi, we see in Nehemiah, that he kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in his days, so we see that Takana was a very old Takana. That's an interesting question. The Rav and Shmuel said that an egg laid on the first day, what do they hold? So didn't they know? Rav himself is the one who says this observation that Amar Chen Amar Rav the most Ezra Elaf Lamatzino Elam Uber. So isn't it even stronger? Why would Rav ever tell us that the egg is going to be Asra on the second day? So the Maharam asks this question. He really is bothered by this. At the end of the day, why would Rav himself say that this is Asr? Apparently, Rav is holding that the idea that the Beis Din is going to, the fact that it existed, the possibility that witnesses could come, even though we knew it wasn't necessarily going to happen, it was still Takanas Chazal to keep it as Yom HaRichta, keep it as one long day. Therefore, even after Beis Din is no longer applicable, the 2 days still have to be observed as the original Takana, even though, again, the original Takana really never had the Tokiv that they thought they were going to come, but theoretically, since they could come, that is something that would have kept the takana in its full force, and therefore an egg on the first day of Rosh Hashanah would be asra on the second day. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Mar Zutra. The Zutra said, Lo Amar Ela De Ishtai, that it, when is it permissible for a Jew to perform the Belier, that's only when it had been delayed, and there's concern that the Rashi points out that the dead body is going to begin to decay. However, Ava Lo Ishtahi, however, if it had not been delayed, the individual person just died right away, like today. Mashina lay, so then we would postpone the burial until after Yom Tov, because at that point there would be no issue of kavod ames, because you're not afraid that the body is going to begin to decay. That is the opinion of Rashi, and he's understanding that this applies only to second day Yom Tov. On the first day, a goy is allowed to attend the burial, even if the dead body was fresh and it was not necessarily going to decay. You don't delay for the next day, and that's the opinion of the Rashi as well. There are other shonim that disagree with Rashi that this halacha should apply on the first day as well. That if it's not going to decay, why should you not? You should delay it as well, even if you're going to only amir al nachri. Still, that's something that we are very makbid about, and you shouldn't do it unless you have to. So the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar Afagav de lo ishtai. Ravashi says, even if the burial had not been delayed and there's no danger of the dead body decomposing, Nami lo mashina lay, we're still not going to delay the burial until after Yom Tov. Why not? My time, Yom Shina Gabi Beis Kol Shavir Rabbanan. Because it's like we mentioned that there's two concepts is that when it comes to the idea of a mace and Yom Tov Sheni, is that like Hutra or Dechuya? Hutra or Dechuya means that is the Takana at all Chal to Chazal? Try to avoid this Isser if you can, and if you can't, then it's okay. Or is it Mamish like it's not there at all? So we mentioned that in the beginning, that's the Chakira that the Amoraim seem to be dealing with. Rav Ashi's understanding that the concept of a mace on the second day, Chazal did not make any Takana whatsoever, that you have to avoid doing anything. It's Mamish like a weekday, and the fact that you could do any Malacha whatsoever, and he continues, Afilo the Megas like Gulima, Lamegas like Asa. Even if you wanted to cut the shrouds for the dead body, or the asas, we've seen that in Masechet Sukkah, that's hadasim, right? The hadasim are the to cut it for the branches for use of these things in order to make it more respectful. You even have enough, Rashi points out, and to beautify the casket, you already have it, and it's already there, and you're just enhancing the burial. Even that's going to mutter according to Rav Ashi, because again, he holds that it's Hutra, the second day of Yom Tov. The Chazal never made a takana that there's any, it's all Derabanan, and the Chazal who made that takana to keep Yom Tov Sheni are saying that when there's a mace, Rachman Al-Tzad, on the second day of Yom Tov, there is no Isser whatsoever to deal with burying the mace, whatever Malachas are involved in. With doing it would not be an issue to take care of the dead body. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, V'ha'inna de'ika chavre. However, nowadays there are these chavre. Who are these chavre? Rashi points out, they're Umar Rishonim Shivmei Parsim. They were times of the Persians. They were these terrible, terrible people that Kofin Israel, Asim left, and they used to force the Jews to work for them. However, they did allow the religious observance. They would postpone and say, no, we're busy with Yantav today. We'll bother us. We'll take care of your work tomorrow. So that would be, so then these people would allow, they were respected apparently in Yantav. They were Rishonim. They made us work. They made us work hard. Maybe they didn't work hard. But still, they would allow the Jews to not work on Yantav and allow them to work on days after Yantav. So then, Chayshinan, then we're going to be concerned that if the Chavrei are going to see the Jews dealing with the Yom Tov, with a dead body on Yom Tov, so what's going to happen? They're going to see this and they're going to say, wait a second, we thought it was Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do any malach. We see you digging holes. You say all these things are necessary for you to work the fields and dig the holes. You're digging a hole right now. You're preparing a dead body. How is this okay? So therefore, we're afraid that they're going to come to make the Jews do more malachas, and therefore it's going to be usher accordingly, it's going to be usher to Ravina to deal with the Yom Tov, Mason Yom Tov, because we're afraid that it's going to lead to other people doing more malachas. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Another difference between Rosh Hashanah and other Yomim Tomiv. Ravina v'yasiv kamei d'rav b'shnei Yomim Tovim shal Rosh Hashanah. Ravina was before. It's Rav Asi was in parentheses and really should be fixed to Rav Ashi. So Ravina was before Rav Ashi on the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. in a year where Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday and Friday, as we see for a moment, that obviously it had to be Thursday, Friday, because he was dealing with the Erev Tavshilet. Chazid Aviatziv, because he saw he was very sad. Amaleya, my Aviatziv, why are you so sad? Amaleya responded, Ravash responded to him, the lo esiv Erev Tavshilet, I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilet. We're going to learn, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to get to Tes Vav. We're going to discuss the Mishnah, that Erev Tavshilet is the concept that you have something prepared before Yomtiv in order for you to cook on the day of Yantav on Friday for Shabbos. Really, you're cooking for Shabbos, but theoretically, it's going to be mutter if you do the concept of an Erev Tavshilin, the prepared food. So that is going to be here. The Rosh Hashanah obviously fell out Thursday, Friday, and Rav Ashi forgot to do an Erev Tavshilin, so he wasn't going to be able to make any food for Shabbos, so he was sad. Amalei, so Ravina said to him, Losif Mar de Ha'in. So just, what do you mean? Do it today. Was Thursday, it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, do it today. Didn't Rava tell us that a person is allowed to establish an Erev Tavshilin from one day of Yamtiv to another, the Erev Yamtiv, and make a Tanai? What is this Tanai? The Tanai is that you're going to designate the Erev Tavshilin, and you're going to say that if today is really a weekday, then the Erev should be Chav. And if today is really Yamtiv, then tomorrow is a weekday, and no Erev is going to be needed, and you make that Tanai, and then Shalom Bayisrael, Manoana Shef, one of these days is not really Yamtiv, and therefore the Erev Tavshilin should work for you. So the Gemara says, Amar Leir, Rav Ashi responded to him, Amar Damar Rava. When did Rava say this halacha? Is only Bishnayamim Tovim Shal Golios. That is only a mention as the 2 days of Yantiv in Golios, because the whole concept of keeping Yantiv Sheni was that people who are far away, who lived far enough that the Shlichim didn't get there by Sukkot time, so they didn't know which day is going to be. Did they establish as Malei Chaser for regards to Sukkot, in regards to Pesach? So they had to keep 2 days in order to keep out the doubts. So then we know, Mamanoshan, one of the days is for sure going to be not Yantiv, one day is Chol. So therefore, in that case, then one would be allowed to make the stipulation. However, but the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, would you say this halacha? We mentioned 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are going to be potentially a Yom HaRichta of Kiddusha, one extended amount of Kiddusha, and therefore, neither day is going to be a weekday. Therefore, you would not be allowed to make this tonight. It's interesting to note, the Gemara seems to never pasha that you would be allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin from day 1 to day 2. That is not so pasha. The Rambam in Hilchos Yomtov explains that this was only in the time of Beis Din was Makadosh Lechodesh, Alpi the Ri'ah, Alpi the people seeing it and coming to the new moon. That's when it was fundamentally, as a whole, is only Sveika de Yoma. However, nowadays we have a fixed calendar, so why are we keeping Yomtov? They're fundamentally, we know that they're both there, so they're both going to be considered a Yom Tov Sheni is really been still going to be Kaddish, and therefore it's going to be a Dinder Abana to keep his Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore we're not allowed to you would not be allowed to do a an Erev Tavshilin Bizman Hazeh on the first day. Had you forgotten? That is a Shaila. The Ram and other Rishonim disagree. So that's the Shaila of the Chlokas, the Rambam and other Rishonim, is that would this halacha of Rava, would this halacha apply now, Ravashi rather, would that apply nowadays? So the Gemara says, wait a second. Again, we were assuming that you're not allowed to do an Erev Tavshilin on Rosh Hashanah, so it doesn't help me. So that's what Rashi was saying, that this Eitzah won't help me. So the Gemara says, V'ha'amrin Ardai. So Ravina responded, then Ardai says, Av Beitzah Mutaris, that even an egg that was on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be permitted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because we treat it like the Shtei Yamim Tovim Shel Golios. So too over here, you should be allowed to have your Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. When you forgot, you should be allowed to make this tonight. So the Gemara says, why would Rav Ashi be machmir? Amalei Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. Beferish Amalei Mar de lo sarvalei lahardai. Rav Ashi didn't accept this because he didn't hold of it. He didn't hold of this kula of the nahardais, and therefore he held that like Rav, and that you would have to have a Beitzah Shenol Dav Yomtov on first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be Asher on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, he did not agree with this halacha either, that you're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin from one day of Rosh Hashanah to the second and make this night and be allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. That would not be permissible. That is the halacha over here. Okay, we've just finished that halacha. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, go back to the Mishnah. We discussed a Beitzah Shenol Dav Yomtov. So Gemara is a similar topic of Itmar Efroch Shenol Dav Yomtov. What happens if you have a chick that was hatched on Yomtov? So that it hatched on Yantav itself. So the Shiloh over here is Rav Amar Asr. Rav said it's going to be Asr. Shmuel, Tamar, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Mutah. So Shmuel, we're not sure. Shmuel said it, maybe Rabbi Yochanan said it. One of them disagreed with Rav and said it's going to be permissible. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Asr Mutah. Rav said that it's going to be Mutah. And that is Lechora, the Tosas point this out, the Tosas handle is maybe, is this Mukta, is this Rav hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Or maybe it's even Rabbi Shimon would agree to this concept of Mukta. Again, Rabbi Yehuda has a broader definition of what Mukta is. He's much more Makhtar, what's going to be established as something that's not considered prepared for Shabbos or Yomtiv, and therefore not going to be allowed to move it on Yomtiv or Shabbos. That is going to be a broader definition of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon is much more Makhtar, a lot of times he doesn't hold a Mukta. So Tosas point out that when it comes to Mukta, Machmas Isser, like this thing, when you have like rocks or things that were not useful at all, So then that is going to be muktzah, even according to Rav Shimon. That's not having prepared. You never thought you were going to use that. So that maybe even Rav Shimon would agree to this halacha. Others want to say, achronim want to tie that maybe this is a halacha of nolad. The fact that the chick is nolad and therefore wasn't there beforehand. So that's Rav Shimon agrees to the isser of nolad, as Tosfos themselves said earlier. So whatever the isser is of muktzah, it's going to be lechora. Even Rav Shimon would agree to this isser of muktzah, and therefore it's going to be asr according to Rav. Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, one of them said that it's going to be permitted. Why? What's their svara? What's their reasoning? Since when you shech when it's hatched, it is now going to be permitted to do shechita. Not and then shecht it again. It hatched and then you are allowed to do shechita with it. You're not allowed to shecht it. So then it's not going to be an issue. That's a fascinating svara. What is it? Rashi's lashon is migo de askan laha. That is, since it became permitted for, it was Isser Nevela, it was a sheretz, it was something that was going to be usher to eat, and now the fact that it hatched, it makes it mutter for you to shecht it, now eat it, so therefore, that removes the prohibition also of the Isser of Mukta. Not exactly, why should that be a migo? It's something that we have this, like, since it's mutter for that, it's mutter for that, just Isser saying, these halachas, or I guess they do have what to do with each other. The fact that it's now mutter for you shows you fundamentally it's not really Mukta, so because it's I'm allowed to eat it. If I'm allowed to eat it, it's clearly not Mukta, so therefore it matters just like it matters the Isser to eat it, it now matters the Isser of Mukta. Okay, it's an interesting svara. So the Gemara asks on Rav, the Amar Rav Kader Rav Asi LeRav, but wait, you're going to tie it either Nolad or either that it's Mukta, Machmas Gufa, that you're not allowed to have it. So what's the difference between this and an Egel? Is a calf that was born on Yom Tov, which everyone's going to agree is not considered Mukta. So the Gemara says, Rav wants to answer, Amar Lehu, he says, Hoil Umukhan Agav Ima B'Shchita, since the calf was really considered not mukta. It was considered prepared. How is it prepared? The fact that if you shechted the mother, when you shech the mother, the lacha is, if there's a pregnant animal and you shech the kasher, kasherly shech the mother, so then the fetus is also going to be considered part of the animal. Ubar yerech irmoz rashi's lashon. The fetus is considered part of the mother and it's allowed to be eaten. That's one of the famous trivia questions, potentially, is when is something usher, what is the only food in the world that might be usher for a goy to eat, but mutter for a Jew to eat? And this would be that example, is that if you shecht an animal, and the fetus is more than just the fetus, it's actually alive, when you shechted it, al pi halacha, it's considered a valid shechita, even though the animal's walking around. And it would be, shayla exactly, I'm not getting into all detail, but potentially this could be a fun trivia. And therefore, for a goy, though, it still would be considered Aver Minachai. It's fully, the animal's alive. But for a Jew, the halacha is that once you shecht it, it's uber yerech, you know, we mamash consider it shechted. And therefore, it's considered a mutter to eat. So that would be the one example where you'd have something that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat it, and a Jew is, a non-Jew is not allowed to eat something, and a Jew is allowed to eat it. Either way, so going back to over here, so we see that fundamentally the animal that's in the mother's womb is allowed to be eaten on Yom Tov, so therefore it's considered prepared, it's not considered mukta. However, over here, then when it comes to chick, it's not like that. The chick is going to be fundamentally different. So the Gemara asks the Rav Kahana Rav Asi, they ask each other, the ma ben zela egel shenolam min atreifa, but wait a second. So that's valid. Fine, I understand that why it should be different than an egel with a regular calf. But what is the difference between this halacha and a chick and a calf that was born in Yom Tov from a treifa? So if it's a treifa, is an animal that has a life-threatening defect that makes it treifa, we call treifa, that we call everything treifa, even a nevela would be treifa. Most when you say, oh, you go into McDonald's, it's treifa. How about it's nevela, right? They shot it and then it didn't fare properly. That'd be a nevela. But either way, we call everything treifa, colloquial treifa, that things are not are isa to eat. So we see that the shechtig, the mother, is going to create the status of permitting the fetus. However, if you have a treifa, so the animal, the mother itself, is going to be usher. The only time that the status is permissible is when the fetus is born. When the calf born to the cow yantiv is going to be eaten, even though it was usher beforehand. So that's a very valid comparison. It's mamish like the hatching of the chick over here. The calf is before is going to be usher. Nevertheless, it's going to be permitted when the animal is going to shecht it, and you can eat that other animal. So the same halacha should apply to the chick. So the Gemara says, Shasik Rav remained silent, and he didn't respond to this answer. So the Gemara wants to learn. What do we learn from the fact that Rav was silent? Amar Rabba v'itimah Rav Yosef. Rabba and others say in the name of Rav Yosef, my time as Shasik Rav. We're trying to analyze. Rav, we know that Rav didn't say Sikha Betela his whole life. Rav was mamish quiet his entire life. So why did he remain? So the fact that he didn't answer something shows us that we were wondering what exactly we learned from every deep word of Rav. So why was he silent? So Gemara answers, Lema lehu. He should have told them, Hoil muchan agav imo leklavim. Since the calf was prepared along with its mother to be fed to the dogs, it's not considered mukta. So why don't Rav respond that answer? Meaning a treifa is normally killed and the meat is given to dogs. Therefore, at the start of Yontif, the calf is considered not mukta because its usage was permitted to feed these things to the dogs, and therefore it's not considered going to be mukta. So therefore, it's not when it would be permitted. However, when over here, it should be fundamentally different. So the Gemara says, so why did not Rav not like this answer? Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, why did Rav not accept this answer? Because turning on to the next someone, Avav Abayis, Hashda Muchan La Adam Lo Avi Muchan La Klavim. If an object is considered prepared for the fact that a person, an Abnei Adam, people eat this thing, that's not going to be considered prepared for a dog. That's that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Apply Muktzah broadly. They're going to understand that any item that is fit for a person to eat at the beginning of Shabbos is going to be set and made unavailable for an animal. That's considered Muktzah for a dog. You can't get this to dog if the status changes, because I wasn't planning on giving it to him. I was planning on eating it. The Sanav is learned in the Mishnah Shabbos. The Mishnah Shabbos tells us, Mechatzin is a deluin lifnei abehemavis and avela lifnei aklovim. So we cut up the gourds before an animal or a dead animal before the dogs to eat. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omar im lo is a nevela me'erev Shabbos asur. Rabbi Yehuda says if it wasn't a dead body already on Shabbos, then it's going to be usur because it's mukta. So it's not considered prepared. It's considered mukta. So the fact that the dead animal, the dead carcass over here is going to consider mukta. It's not considered prepared. So we see that since the animal was alive and fit for a person to eat, it's going to be fundamentally mukta if it dies on Shabbos. Muchan laklavim havei muchan laadam. Something which is prepared for dogs is going to be prepared for a person? No. So therefore, the newborn calf is not considered prepared for the fact that a person is allowed to eat it when it was a treifa, and that would not be able to answer for Rav. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, Rav responds to Abaye, Ein muchan laadam lo muchan laklavim. Demai chazalei leinish lo sharei le laklavim. He says, In, right? Really, yes. Something that's prepared for a human, for a person, is not going to be considered prepared for dogs, because that which is going to be considered fit for a person, we never throw that to the dogs. However, muchan laklavin, muchan ladam, something which is prepared for dogs is considered prepared for a person to eat. The daisa de inisha komide de chazilei, for a person is thinking about anything which is he can use, since the fetus of a treifa animal is fit for. The fact that a person is allowed to eat it, it's totally halachically mutter once it's born. So the owner designated it, he designated it and not become mukta. If it becomes available, he designated it, and therefore it's not going to be, so therefore he's responding why potentially Rav didn't respond to that. So then the Gemara just learns out, so then we don't really have an answer. We've answered for Rav, we potentially answer for Rav, so we're not sure how the halacha be. So the Gemara is going to prove that there's a Tanaim that support both Shitas Tana Kavasi Rav and Tana Kavasi the Shmuel of Timur B'Yochanan. The first Shita of Rav who said that it's Usher if the chick hatches on Yontif is going to be Usher, and we have the prices supporting either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. We're not sure who said it. Who said that this is going to be okay? So the Gemara says Tanak of Asid Rav. The price is going to be permitted according to Rav is Egel Shenolad Biyomtov Mutar, because he holds that if you have a calf that was born on Yontif is going to be permitted. Efroach Shenolad Biyomtov Usher. However, if you have a chick that was hatched on Yontif, it's going to be Usher. It's going to be prohibited. And then the price of Mamish is like Preferish like Rav. Umahefresh Bin Zelazel. What's the difference between the calf and the chick? Zemuchan Agavim Mashchita. The newborn was considered prepared before the birth on account of the mother through the shechita. And since it was part of the mother, on Shabbos, it's going to be considered food, and therefore it's going to be mutter, not going to be mukta. But the newly hatched chick is not considered prepared on the fact of its mother. Again, it's usher to eat it beforehand, so therefore it's on the shell, and on the yontif, it's going to be usher at that time. Only when it hatches and be mutter, that's not considered prepared, and therefore it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara says, and Tavna Kavasa to Shmuel, Vitim Rabbi Yochanan, and the second opinion of the Reisa supports either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, whoever the man damar was. Egel shenolad biyontov mutter, that if you have a calf that was born on yontov is going to be permitted. Ve'efroch shenolad biyontov mutter, and if you have a chick that is hatched on yontov, it's going to be permitted. What's the reason for both? My taima zemuchan agavimo. The newborn calf is considered prepared, and the calf of his mother, like we just mentioned. However, ve'zematir atzmo b'shchita. The second one, the hatching of the chick, is going to become permitted through the fact that you're allowed to shechta now. It does not become mukta, and it's going to be mutter, as Rashi said, migol mutter la. That since it's permitted now to eat, it's not considered a share. It's not considered something which is usher for you to eat. So therefore, this is going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, we learn in a brisa, Efroch Shenolad Biyontov Usher. If you have a chick that is hatched in Yontov, it's going to be Usher because it's Muktzah. So the Gemara says, that's going to be aser. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, af bechol aser. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that even during the weekday, that this chick that's hatched is going to be aser. What do you mean? So where's the why? The fish in its basra ena, because its eyes have not yet opened. And if the eyes are not yet opened, and he's going to understand that there's an issue over here of another problem. The Gemara is mentioning it right now. Kimanaz lahadisana. So who's the opinion of the Raisa that says, l'chol sheretz ha-sheretz ala arts, v'chul, we should really continue the pasuk, because l'chol sheretz ha-arts, ala arts, lo sochlim ki sheketem. You shouldn't have any creeping things that are creeping on the earth. You should not eat them. And they're considered an abomination. Don't eat them. So what do we learn from here? L'rabo sefrochem shalona yistechub einehem. This is coming to include the chicks that have not opened their eyes. They're considered creepy things. Don't eat them. So the Gemara says that that's the opinion of what you see over here. The Svara, Kimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He's understanding that that before it opens its eyes, it's still considered a creeping thing, and you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, Amar Avuna Marav, when it comes to a newly laid egg, Beitza imitiyasa ningbara, that an egg, when it comes out from the mother's hen, is going to be considered fully formed. So this is a very vague statement. What exactly do we care? The fact that its physical creation is not completed until it leaves the body. So the Gemara says, what halacha is this for? My imitiyasa ningbara. For what purpose did he tell us this halacha, that when it comes out of the body, when it comes out of the mother, it's going to be fully formed? So the Gemara says, because Elam, if you want to suggest the Rav is teaching you a chiddush of imitiyasa ningbara, umenteres la'achla b'chalav, that once it's considered, once it leaves the hen and it becomes fully formed, is now considered not meat anymore. It's going to be allowed to be eaten with milk. However, when it's in its mother's inside, it's considered part of the hen. It's going to be asur to eat with milk. The Gemara says that that's not true. Because we learn in the Braisa, that if you shecht a hen and you find fully formed eggs, the eggs are going to be permitted to be eaten with milk. And Rashi points out what is considered beitzim gemuras. Afila below klipa doesn't have the outside shell so much levana, not the white, has not developed fully. Ela shachelmon levado gamar. So there's two aspects to this, of the egg, the tissue, and the other part that in your day, actually, this actually comes up in Peizan, people in our day, that halacha is actually pretty complicated. So what exactly is together? But either way, so if it's fully formed, we assume that it's not going to be a problem, and then those eggs are going to be permitted to eat with milk. So Rav couldn't have said over here that this is against the Braisa, that Rav would say that it's going to be usher. The Braisa clearly told us that earlier stage is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, what was the implication, the halachic implication of Rav's statement? Rather, Rav must meant that when it leaves the hen, the egg becomes fully formed. So if it was laid before Yomtov, it's allowed to be eaten on Yomtov. Since it's considered mukhan, it's considered prepared before Yomtov. So Gemara says, Hav me'ima, asher la'achal Yomtov. However, when the hen is going to be slaughtered on Yomtov, the egg is going to be in the mother's inside. So then it's not going to be considered a weekday. So therefore, it's going to be asher to be eaten on Yomtov. Because of the lachana de Rab, as Rashi points out, that which requires that the egg has to be prepared on a weekday. So therefore, we're assuming that this is not considered prepared, it's going to be asher on Yomtov. The Gemara says that that's not true also. Vatana the Braisa tells us, a shochet is a tarnagol, someone shechts a hen and finds formed eggs in it, mutaris loch len b'yantav, you're going to be permitted to eat them on yantav. So Rav wouldn't have ruled against this price also to tell you that that unlaid eggs are going to be usher in this situation. So the Gemara says, v'chitei makamash lan b'raisa ma'ay delosh menem b'masnis. And maybe you're going to suggest, no, that the Braisa actually is telling us a kula that's not taught in the Mishnah, and therefore this Braisa really actually is a machlokas. The Mishnah, Rashi points out, Rebbe told us halachas, and if he mentioned halachas, it's more authoritative than the Braisa. The Braisa was formulated later by Rabbi Chia. So we shouldn't accept the Braisa, therefore we should accept the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, ha, namitanina, that's not true. We have our Mishnah seems to imply exactly like the Braisa. What does our Mishnah say? Beitza shenol de b'yamtiv. If you have a Beitza which is laid on yamtiv, Beitchami, omrim to ochal, beitzelol, omrim lo sochal. And Shama say it's mutter to eat, and Beisilel say that it's usher to eat. So the Mishnah is implying that this is the Olma Chokas. V'adkan lo pligi Beisilel Beisilel ela benoda av Abameima direct kol sharian. That when is Machlokas Beisilel Beisilel over here? They're arguing over an egg that was actually laid on Yantiv. But concerning an egg which is in the mother's inside, direct kol sharian, everyone's going to agree that it is permitted. So therefore, the Brisa then is lechora going to be a support for our Mishnah, and then it would not be a Machlokas. The Gemara says no. Maybe you could argue v'chitim Beisilel filah Abameima nami asire. No, Beisilel would even tell you that even usher an egg found in its mother's inside is also going to be asur on yantiv. So why do they mention the case? Why would they teach you the case then of the egg that was laid on the yantiv? Tell you the bigger chiddush that even the egg to tell me that Beisil would even prohibit the egg inside the mother. So why didn't you have a bigger chiddush? No, because to teach you how far Beis Shammai goes. To teach you how far Beis Shammai goes. Beis Shammai is going to extend the leniency. Even an egg that was laid on yantiv is still going to be mekel. The Gemara says no. That can't be, because Halad Hasana, we have a Braisa which tells us, Hashochet is an atarnagolas and matzah bebeitzim gemuros. If someone shechs a hen and finds it formed eggs inside of it, mutaris lachal miyamtav, the eggs are going to be permitted to eat on yamtav. So now, who is the author of this Braisa? Mani, lo beishameh, lo beisila. This can't line up with beishameh or beisila, because the Braisa is telling us And an egg found in the head, the inside of the mother's hen, is going to be eaten, implying that it's laid on Yantiv, it's going to be Usser. So this can't be Beit Shammai, because we wanted to assume that Beit Shammai would permit even an egg that was laid on Yantiv, and it can't be Beit Hillel, because we're assuming Beit Hillel would prohibit even an egg that was laid in the mother's stomach. So then both of them would be either completely Machmir, and the other one is completely Mekil. So therefore, the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel would have no Shita of standing in Raisa. We don't assume that a Stam Raisa is no Shita in Tanaim. So therefore, we're assuming that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel must involve the case of the eggs, which are actually the Yamtiv, and everyone agreed that they're found in the eggs after the Shechita, they're going to be eaten. So therefore, Rav's statement can't be understood as talking about that we're going to asr these type of eggs, because it's against the Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara says, who is Rav's statement? Ella im yatzias anivar magdal sefrochim. What's this statement that Rav meant? When the egg comes out, it's fully formed, and it's therefore fertilized, it can produce chicks. So therefore, the Gemara says, b'mei iman ina megadal sefrochim. However, inside the when its egg is taken from the mother's innards, it cannot produce chicks. So the Gemara asks, l'may nafka mina, what is going to be the halachic difference, whether or not it's able to produce more chicks or not? If I'm buying it in business, in transactions, if the buyer requested eggs, which chicks are going to hatch, so therefore, and he was sold eggs with the hens inside, the sale is going to be completely batel. Ki ahu debay lehu, buy it, because Gemara just shows that this is an example. Someone who wanted to, one who was selling buy it, who was selling eggs, which eggs which made feiches, make a crackling sound when they are coming out, they make a sound, they make a loud noise when are coming out of the hen. So then he wanted that. That's what he specified. Yahavilei boy the shechita. They sold him eggs that had been found in a ready shechted hen. So Asla Kamed Rabbi Ami. So he came before Rabbi Ami to see if he can go back on this. He didn't want this. He didn't get what he wanted. So there's a concept that when you have a valid taina and the guy sold you something in a way that was ki'ilu, a halachic ripoff, a halachic something that he shouldn't have, it was not honest. So then you're allowed to call it amarlu megachtos v'ader. So it's considered a mistaken purchase, and therefore it's going to be allowed to negate the whole sale. So Gemara says, Peshitta, this is obvious. Since the guy specified that he wanted eggs that were laid by a hen, his purchase of eggs obviously were different. That's clearly invalid. So Gemara says, no, the same. I would have thought, that maybe the guy just wanted to eat the eggs. He wanted them to be fully developed. And that's why he mentioned this statement. And then what's the difference does it make if he wanted eggs to be from a live hen, or they were from the hen that already hatched? What's the difference? And Gemara says, because he wanted it to refund him, the difference, there's a difference between completely negating the sale or refunding the difference. So therefore, the Gemara is pointing, therefore you have the Chiddush of Rav Ami. Kamash Malan, Rav Ami is teaching us that when the guy specified the eggs from a live hen, it's somebody who wants the breeding chickens, and therefore his purchase is considered completely batel. Not that you could return the money, the difference of sale that it was supposed to be, and keep the sale valid. Rather, he's able to negate the whole sale, give back the eggs, and get his full money back, and get a full refund. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up a Hu Damar Lo, Bez Hashem tomorrow's stuff. Oh, actually, I'm not sure if I get to Rosh Hashanah, Bez Hashem, maybe I will. But either way, you have a Ksiyo, Ksiyo Torah, good Gemara Shir for everybody. You should have all the good to Brachos.